Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
I was looking forward to this bit all morning because the weekend is coming. There's nothing like finding something to watch that you really enjoy. So we asked Kellyanne Byrne, DJ and presenter with The Face Radio, to bring us a few recommendations of her favourite music documentaries. And she's found some old ones, some new ones, some utterly unmissable ones. They're all unmissable, Kellyanne.
Yes.
Welcome to the programme again.
Thank you.
We're going to start with this.
Are you ready, Black people? Are you really ready? Are you ready to listen to all the beautiful black voices, the beautiful black feeling, the beautiful black waves moving in beautiful air? Are you ready, black people? Are you ready?
Nobody ever heard of the Harlem Culture Festival. Nobody would believe it happened.
Six weekends of major artists.
The Panthers were the security and kids were sitting up on the trees.
I was nervous. I didn't expect a crowd like that. Something very important was happening. It wasn't just about the music.
1969 was a change. Kelly is here with goosebumps on her arms listening to that. That's Summer of Soul. It's in cinemas right now.
Yes.
And that was Nina Simone's voice at the very start.
That was Nina Simone. And this documentary is about the Harlem Cultural Festival in 1969. You had an array of incredible artists on stage. Nina Simone, who we heard there, Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight, Mavis Staples, Mahalia Jackson. I can go on and on and on. You can hear me getting so excited because I saw this twice and it just knocked my socks off. Like, my hair is standing on end even thinking about it.
So why did you see it twice?
Because it's not just the music, it's the way Questlove directs it. So this festival, when it happened, it was a big success in Harlem, but the media wouldn't touch it. They were more interested in Woodstock. And I think because it was a black festival in a black area, they didn't go near it. So the footage disappeared for 50 years. Questlove, the drummer from The Roots, decided to resurrect it, and the way he directs it, it's just so intelligent and compassionate.
What was happening at the time?
Yeah, that's it. What it does is it cuts from footage of the festival to archival footage of everything that was happening politically and socially at the time, particularly for black people. So you had the assassinations of Martin Luther King the year before, JFK, Bobby Kennedy, Malcolm X. And really, there was a lot of upheaval and unrest in the States, but particularly for the black community. And that's the way he directs it. It's just so special.
So it gives you a sense of what was happening politically and culturally, but then the music is so exciting as well.
Yeah, the music is so exciting.
And it's still in the cinema now, is it?
It's still in the cinema now. And I would urge people listening, please, please go and see this in the cinema. You have to see it on the big screen.
Okay, Summer of Love. That's the first one and it's still there in the cinema. So no excuse if you haven't been in a while to pop along perhaps this weekend. Next up is this. Unmistakable sound of INXS with New Sensation. This documentary is not about the band,
no.
It's about him.
It's about him. It's the story of Michael Hutchins and it's called Mystify. Again, I watched it twice. I watched it last weekend and it sheds a whole new light on his personality. You know, we kind of got this image of like a rock god, very confident, you know, very alluring, very sexual, but underneath it all, he was a very timid, shy character. His sister says when he was a kid, he wouldn't even walk into a room full of people. That's how shy he was. But I think one of the most important things in this documentary, there's a big revelation. He had an accident in 1992. He was with his then girlfriend, Helena Christensen, and they were on their bikes eating pizza in Copenhagen. A taxi man came up and got very angry because they were in the way. He hit Michael. Michael fell back and hit his head. He was bleeding from his mouth and from his ear. And it resulted in permanent loss of taste and smell. And the autopsy revealed he was brain damaged to the front of the brain. So for somebody that sensual, who loved the fine things in life, you know, wine, food, nature, he hit a deep depression. And they describe in the documentary Friends that there was the Michael before and the Michael after. And the Michael after was erratic, moody, really drawn to the dark things in life. So it just gives a whole new light, I think, on...
Yeah, that's interesting. And the other interesting part of this is the access that they got to footage, photographs and Kylie Minogue.
Oh.
So we're going to talk about his relationship with her in a moment. But first of all, here's another clip from that documentary.
Kylie's got this real sweet, innocent image, and what the hell is she doing with me?
I felt very safe with him. I felt protected. He definitely awakened my desire for other things in my world. A lot of it was based around pleasure, let's face it. It opened up a whole new world for me, it really did.
I'm remembering back now when they got together, all of the coverage was, oh, Kylie Minogue has grown up, because she was always this, you know, little sweet little girl. And then suddenly she's with this rock star and everything changed. But she did an interview with them for the documentary and she trusted them. So she gave them all of the footage that she had.
Yeah, she trusted Richard Lowenstein, who directed it. He was a good friend of Michael's. So she gives this really intimate footage of when they travelled. My heart thinking about it on the Orange Express, and they're young lovers and they're so free and they're not too famous people. Like, they're sitting on trains and drinking wine. They're in Hong Kong and they just look so in love. It's really one of the greatest parts of the documentary, this footage, I feel.
Does she talk about why they broke up?
Yeah, well, he broke her heart. I think she went to a hotel in New York and he was in a bad way. She doesn't know exactly why, what had happened. I mean, they were living on different schedules. But yeah, he broke up with her. But she said he was on his hands and knees crying. She had never seen a man like that. And even though he broke her heart, she said he never would have meant to hurt anyone.
Okay. So they, of course, were at the height of their fame, both of them at that time, which came with its own pressures. But we can't talk about Michael Hutchins without talking about Pauly Yates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really covered in the documentary. When they meet on the bed, you remember? And they have so much chemistry. But he really loved her. And I think it's really important as well. They talk about the fact that he loved his daughter, Tiger Lily. He was like a different man when she was born. And I think having had the accident and the kind of depressing years afterwards, this was a kind of a light for him. Mm-hmm. So it's sad the way it all ended.
Tell us where we can watch that, because I am going to watch that this weekend.
You can get that on iTunes or YouTube. It is unmissable. It's just so fabulous.
And Amazon Prime have it as well, do they? Okay, so remind us of the name of that again, Callie.
Mystify.
Okay, next up is this one.
My mother, she used to sit in the window of the kitchen when she was making dinner on Sundays. I used to just watch her. I thought she was so pretty. One day she wasn't in that window. She was never in it again. I wanted her to come for me. And I waited. She never did. And it's all right. You know why? I'm a girl from a cotton field that pulled myself above the destruction and the mistakes. And I'm here for you.
Oh, takes your breath away.
We both simultaneously just sighed there.
Yeah. I watched this. This is Tina Turner's documentary, obviously, Tina. But this is a really strong film.
Oh, it is such a strong film. I mean, I mentioned to you, I had to watch this over two nights because parts of it are quite harrowing. And I was just so moved by the story. Like, I'm a big Tina fan. But this, again, it's a whole new look. Like, she's 80 in this documentary. She's talking from her Zurich home. It's really poignant with her reflecting back on her life.
And she has a lovely life now, and that's all wonderful. Mm. But by God, did she come from a tough start. I mean, we heard the stuff there about the mother. Yeah. Then she went on to have that relationship with Ike Turner. Yeah. She was left when that ended at the age of, was it 40, in her mid-40s?
In her mid-40s.
With nothing. Because in order to get him out of her life, she allowed him to walk away with the bulk of what they had built together.
Yeah.
So she's scrambling from a standing start at 45.
At 45. And this is what is phenomenal about Tina Turner, because when she left Ike, she had it really tough. She, first of all, she was living under a shadow still. The name, she couldn't get away from it. Secondly, when Roger Davis came on to manage her, he said she was a black woman in a white male-dominated industry, in, like you say, middle-aged, and she defied everyone. I mean, there's footage of her at 50 performing to 186,000 people in Rio, because she said, I'm going to fill stadiums the same way Mick Jagger did, the same way David Bowie did, who were all influenced by her, by the way. She was the first. So I just think this is just the most phenomenal story. The second half is really uplifting. She falls in love, true love. She's still with Aaron Bock. I think he's 17 years her junior. When she met him.
Yeah, and, but she looks phenomenal. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think if you're not a Tina fan, it doesn't matter.
Not
the story here is just phenomenal. It carries itself.
Yeah, I agree with you. Anyone can watch this and enjoy it.
And it is a HBO documentary. But if you have Sky, you can see it on Sky Documentaries. Or if you have a subscription to Now TV, do it. Watch
yeah,
it
please,
this
everyone.
Weekend. Now, the next one we want to talk about, and I'm intrigued by this one as well. I've watched half of this, really enjoyed it. This is Elvis.
My type of music is a combination of country music and gospel and rhythm and blues all combined. As a child, I was influenced by all that.
A time when the country was into racism and segregation, he was a young kid. He was not afraid to go and be exposed to it so he could learn even more about it.
The American team just knew it rocked. No white music had ever done that.
He was snatched from the ordinary life of a young man into a place that no one else had ever been in our culture.
You'll be blown away when you watch this, because the contributors, Tom Petty, Emmylou Harris, as you heard there, Bruce Springsteen sitting there being interviewed about Elvis. And it's called The Searcher. And there's a reason why it's called The Searcher.
Yeah, Priscilla, she was really behind this documentary. And she says at the start, we call it The Searcher because Elvis was always in search of musical inspiration. And when that started, I love this. He used to get on his bike when he was living in Mississippi. Very, very poor.
Tupelo, wasn't it?
Tupelo, yeah. Extremely poor. And he would get on his bike and he would go to black churches at nighttime and listen to black music and the sermons. Everything started for him in gospel, in black music. And later then when they moved to Memphis, I love this too. Apparently he would go to the clubs and like look in the window at Howlin' Wolf and Ike Turner and Rufus Thomas and absorb everything. He was like a sponge. But the amazing thing about Elvis, as we know, is that he put his own take on everything.
Yeah, breaking boundaries all over the place.
Breaking boundaries all over the place. He was just so phenomenal. And it's just, it's a wonderful documentary because they avoid his private life. And
okay, that's what it's I love all about the music.
It's all about music, artistry, creativity.
Yeah. Have you been to Graceland?
No.
Oh, I was
Have
there.
You?
I don't know how many years ago now, I was on a holiday with a friend of mine to Nashville because we were there for the country music and the fun. And then Memphis is so close. You can drive, you know, it's about, I don't know, an hour or so. Drove to Memphis and I was like, oh, Graceland, not sure. I'm not sure if I'm that into Elvis. Kind of went in reluctantly with my friend who was mad into Elvis. By the time I got to the end of the tour, I'm crying my eyes out standing beside the grave of Elvis and his parents and the rest of his family. It's absolutely intriguing.
I'd love to go.
Like you're wandering through his kitchen, through his house, through his recording studio. The access is incredible, absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
But you get a sense of the level of fame that he had and the closeness to his mother and the intrigue.
Oh, he adored
Priscilla.
His mother. Yeah, he adored his mother. I think that, and you know, she died quite young. So that was really, really tough too. But I'd love to go. But this documentary, I feel like real Elvis music fans are going to love this doc. It covers everything.
And he was in 31 films.
Yeah.
He recorded 784 songs and over 1,500 concerts, I think he did, live concerts.
Towards the end of his life, he was doing 170 shows a year. Like nobody could ever say Elvis didn't work hard for what he got.
Yeah, and the intrigue of the comeback and all of that.
Yeah, the 68 special, I love it.
And that's on, it's on Netflix, is it?
That's on Netflix at the moment,
Now, from Elvis to the person for a time was more popular than he was, in South Africa, certainly. This is Rodriguez.
If ever there is an air of intrigue and mystery around a pop artist, it is around the artist known as Rodriguez.
We thought he was like the inner city poet.
He was this wandering spirit around the city.
He's like a wise man, a prophet.
How many records do you think he sold in America?
In America, 6.
Born in a troubled city.
Well, it's still a bit of a mystery how the first copy of Cold Fact actually came to South Africa, but it spread very quickly. To many of us South Africans, he was the soundtrack to our lives.
Everybody I knew had his records.
The message it had was, be anti-establishment. Really, the first opposition to apartheid, they'll tell you that they were influenced by Rodriguez.
But nobody knew anything about it. It was a mystery.
So this is Searching for Sugarman, and we cut the clip there because when it comes to this one, we're saying don't Google it, don't ask anyone about it, don't even watch the full trailer because there's a massive twist in it and you don't want to know what the twist is before you see it.
No, absolutely not. I completely agree. Okay, this tells the story of Sixto Rodriguez, who made music in the 70s in the States. He was from Detroit. He was called an inner city poet. Everything was there for him to become huge in the States, but it did not happen. However, he was massive in South Africa. How this occurred was a young American girl took a copy of Cold Fact, his first album, brought it to South Africa and listened to it at a party with some friends. And these young kids living under apartheid became obsessed with Rodriguez's music because he spoke about freedom and rebellion and protesting. In the end, he sold 500,000 copies in South Africa, unbeknownst to him. He was back working on construction sites in Detroit. So the story of the doc is that two major fans, a music journalist and a record store owner, go in search of information about Rodriguez. They heard when they were young that he had taken his own life by setting fire to himself on stage. So they believe he's dead, but they just want to know about his life. And I cannot say any more.
Okay, and it's well worth watching now.
Yeah.
It is available to buy or rent on Amazon Prime, iTunes or Google Play.
Yeah.
And that is Searching for Sugarman. Kellyanne Byrne, DJ and presenter with The Face Radio, thank you so much for joining us today. For anyone looking for the details of those documentaries, we're going to have the names and where you can find them up on our show page, rte.ie/todaycb. That's the weekend sorted.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.